automated disassembly is basically physical AI. It's the AI use case for Europe.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.
You're listening to the final episode in our IFAD series. The IFAD is the world's leading trade fair in environmental technologies. In the previous episodes, we talked about sovereignty, we talked about the economic potential of circularity and the startup landscape. Today, we will bring all of this together and present to you the winners from the Circular Technology Award. Before we get to know the four winners from the award, Matthias Ballweg, co-founder of Circular Republic, and Oliver Kluge, Chief Strategy and Transformation Officer from Knorr Bremse, will provide us with some background information about the award and the motivation to launch it. Let's start with Matthias. Matthias, you co-founded Circular Republic almost 4 years ago. Now this year, you launched the Tech Award. Why did you start that?
The Tech Award was a joint idea with Knorr Bremse. Knorr Bremse is a classic German Mittelstand SME company, rather large one, to be honest, that is really looking to build future-proof business. And that's why we started talking. So we started to look into that space where are promising fields for international industry players based in Germany to innovate. Where does circularity offer innovation potential?
Okay. And I guess you evaluated a couple of options. Why did you ultimately choose on these two fields?
So we've chosen automated disassembly and critical raw material recycling. And it feels like the perfect point in time for both. So first, we are heading in a geopolitical time where obviously resource scarcity, especially around critical raw materials, is becoming hugely important. And that is building a market, that is building a business opportunity. And that's from the market pull side. And then on the other hand, there is now technology available that wasn't available 5 or 10 years ago. Robotics technology, really the S-curve is now tipping up. AI, similar. And automated disassembly is basically physical AI, if you will. It's the AI use case for Europe. So we might not be the global champions in every AI use case in Europe, but for automated disassembly, we are. And it wasn't available 5 years ago, even. Now in Europe, you can have a robot arm disassembling products, even deciding whether screws are rusted or not and acting accordingly. That's completely new tech, while at the same time, this market pull, the need for securing sovereignty for those materials is coming together. And then we said, now that's the opportunity to build a business. And it's still a bet, right? But that's how innovation and entrepreneurship always works, right? You do bet on a certain risk and bet on a certain trend. I believe it's the right trends. Sustainability, together with geopolitical uncertainty, are both not going to go away. The technology is now there, so let's catch the opportunity.
Okay, wonderful. Before we hear Oliver's perspective from Knorr Bremse, let me get some idea about the startups. You got many applicants, I can assume many solutions. So what have been your observations? Is there any pattern or any white spot? We will have a different episode on the startup landscape, yes, but with focus of the award, what stood out for you?
So we realized while it's a hot topic, there are not that many startups yet. We got a lot of applications and we feel like we got the full market of circularity startups in the set of applications. But it's not that there are hundreds of startups that are building robot arms to disassemble stuff or then have new recycling technology. And that's maybe one finding. And the second one is you need a lot of complementary technologies. Mm-hmm. Quite a bunch of startups that are focusing on visioning, detecting what kind of material is it actually that this example, detecting the sprue and deciding is it rusted. That's completely different also technology and skill set than steering the subsequent robot arm, yeah, than doing any kind of hydrological, thermic, or chemical, or even mechanical recycling process in the end. And you need, in any case, to like a chain, right? Put a couple of startups, yeah, next to each other to enable circularity in any kind of electronic or critical raw material value chain. It's, mm-hmm, not that there is one player doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Matthias, thanks for setting this up. I think it's, again, a huge contribution to the circular economy in Germany and Europe. And let's hope it will spark some additional innovation. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for making the story so apparent.
Oliver, we just learned from Matthias about the Tech Award, and Knorr Bremse is the partner of this award. You're the Chief Strategy and Transformation Officer. Before we look at the award, can you say a few words about Knorr Bremse?
Yes, of course. So Knorr Bremse is one of the leading technology and market leaders for braking systems for the truck and rail industry. Mm-hmm. We are in 100 locations, 30 countries. Last year, we made a revenue of 7.8 billion euro and a profit of 11.6% EBIT. So it's a pretty strong market leader with a lot of technology, a lot of good engineers, and a lot of innovation in the truck and rail industry, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Why did you decide to partner up with Circular Republic for the Tech Award?
I mean, Circular Republic is, from our point of view, connected with the TU Munich, yeah? And we got this connection with our research, right? Looked who could be a good partner. And Circular Republic is definitely one of the organizations which could facilitate us to open us the network within the circular economy startup and also scale up a community. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons to get there. Also good expertise, good people, mm-hmm, which could open up this field for us.
And the topics, the two topics with the two awards, how much are they relevant for you?
Actually, we selected, of course, or we searched within the green tech area a lot of topics where we thought that could be of interest. Also, where we in Knorr Bremse have at least some kind of, I don't want to say nucleus, but we have a reman business, yeah, which, yep, is, of course, something which we can build up on. And because of this nucleus, on the one hand, for this automated dismantling, but also on the other hand, with the critical raw material recovery, where we also see in our supply chain that this is a very important topic within circularity, where we thought that's a potential field for us to analyze if this is for Knorr Bremse, maybe a potential business field.
Sounds interesting. So you now do not only award prize money, or the award does not only award prize money, mm-hmm, but also a POC, a partnership, mm-hmm, with Knorr Bremse. Why did you do that?
Because our intention is not only to award now money to some great guys, yeah, who had, and we saw a lot of great innovations, mm-hmm, yeah. But we also want to implement it, yeah? Not only talking and having nice concepts. And we saw a lot of startups which have great ideas, mm-hmm, but are not in this implementation status.
Right.
Where we thought that's a point to make it into reality, and also where we actually can benefit, of course, within our industry, within our operations, to use these concepts and implement it, yeah.
And maybe there's even the risk that you will do even more POCs with the other startups.
But the risk, and it's a chance. Yeah, yeah, it's a chance if we see that there are some other ideas which make sense. And yeah, we saw a couple of ideas. We say it could also make sense to look into POCs with them.
Yeah.
But let's see. We want to start with two, because it's not our home turf. Yeah, right, to be honest, right. And it's for us. A little bit more, of course, an experiment, but we want to look into this and we want to also learn. That's also why we are doing this POC, to learn what they are doing, how this can benefit the Knorr Bremse AG.
You said there have been many really interesting startups you screened. Mm-hmm. At the same time, is there a field that is missing, or like an approach where I said, like to the future founders out there, this is an opportunity. Here we have a challenge, and someone should pick that up.
Actually, because our two topics were so concrete, I thought it was not really a question of not enough innovative ideas. For me, it was more, maybe not astonishing, but as I said, also why we do the POC, the implementation. Yeah, they have good ideas. Of course, they maybe lack people who support them so they can really get into reality.
Yeah.
And that's for me even more important, yeah, that this is something what we saw that is missing. Why we also with this award and with the POC hopefully can give them a little bit of push, yeah, that they can be successful in the future. Yeah,
yeah, it's an amazing contribution to the community, Oliver. Thanks. And I'm super curious. I mean, we're talking now before the award celebration and curious how the startups will react, and wish you all the best with the POC.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Xavier, you're the CTO of R3 and just won the Tech Award. Congratulations to that. What's the problem you're solving?
Yeah, thanks first of all. Super excited to win the Circular Technology Award today and taking it for the entire company, R3 Robotics. So the problem that we're generally solving is that to build a circular economy, you need to repair, reuse, recycle products that we have. And at R3 Robotics, we're building a robotic disassembly platform. So we use large industrial robots to disassemble products. For example, lithium-ion batteries, right? Lithium-ion batteries today, once they reach the end of life, they need to be, you can reuse components. And then at some point, you need to recycle them. To do that at scale and also in a safe way, you'd like to use robots. Because for humans, it's a dull, dexterous, and dangerous job. So we automate what is dangerous, heavy, to close the circular economy loop, to scale the processes where today there are bottlenecks. And we do that for batteries today, and also started to doing it for e-drives. And at some point, we'll go to the entire electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. Because today, EVs are like a computer on wheels, mm-hmm. and there's so many valuable components. And you like at an industrial scale to do that automatically, recover the components, recover the critical raw earth materials.
Okay. You said you're building a platform. What does that mean?
Yeah. So what do I mean by that is part of our platform is the basis of our robotic system, which is the eyes, the brain, the arm, and the skills, which can be used not only on one product, batteries, but also on multiple products. And what our vision is that the platform in its functionalities and what it can do is so broad and so intelligent that in the future you can put almost any valuable product, waste electronic product to the robot, and it starts to disassemble it to recover components for reuse, more to enable efficient downstream recycling.
Okay. So who are your customers?
Great question. So we have a broad spectrum of customers. We work with OEMs. We work with recyclers. Basically, anybody that has either a large income of, for example, end-of-life electric batteries, or has a fleet of electric vehicles that at some point he needs to dispose the batteries or the e-drives. Mm-hmm. And our robots disassemble either as a robot as a service, so not in our facilities, but our customer facilities, the robots disassemble, or you can use also our facilities where we disassemble your products for you.
Xavier, I'm pretty sure there will be huge demand for the kind of solutions you're building. So congratulations again, and thanks for sharing the overview of your product. Yeah.
Thank you.
Tommaso, congratulations
for
the award. Tell us a bit about Hero. What's the problem you're solving?
I mean, Hero Robotics is an Italian-based company. We are working on robotics and AI for electronic waste disassembly. The problem today is that even if we use electronic devices every day and every day we throw them in the garbage, the way we are disassembling them is the same of 100 years ago. Either they manually disassemble them, which is good for the recovery rate of the material, but it's not scalable and it's slow. Either they shred everything together, but you lost a lot of percent of material. Almost the 25% of the material is lost. Even if you have pollutant within the electronic device, you are going to pollute all the material that you could recover. So that's why there is a need today for a different solution, new way of doing stuff. As the electronic devices evolved over the year, now we need to make also the way we are disassembling them evolving.
Okay, and when you say electronics, so what kind of electronics are we talking about?
Actually, we started from the TVs. One of our aim, our objective since the beginning was having our system working in real treatment center, generating value, producing data as soon as we could. So, and we succeeded in this. We are one of the few companies working in automation for disassembling that already has market traction and full working plans. So we started from a waste that was kind of easy. It was super complicated, but we can say it was easy to disassemble. And at the same time, there's a lot of value inside. So we started from televisions. Mm-hmm. We had a full plant made of three robotic stations automating different tasks of the disassembling process of television. And then we made this system evolve. We make it capable of unscrewing and disassembling different classes of e-waste. But we move to professional waste, data centers, a class of waste that will explode with the AI evolution, inverters that are waste that are have many screws. So they are, again, kind of simple to disassemble. And at the same time, they have a lot of value. Okay. But we are now moving to electric motors, electric vehicles, electric batteries. So looking for the next step, either in the classes of waste we want to treat and either on the procedure we can automate.
Okay, and Tommaso, tell us what is special about your solution.
I mean, as I said, one thing that is super special, the most special, is that our system are already working. We already have customers wanting to have our technologies in their treatment centers to do things differently and to disassemble with our robots. Technically speaking, what's different is that we do not need a recipe. We don't need data about what we are disassembling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't need to know that this is a specific model of TV, a specific brand. No. We teach the robot how to recognize the screws. We teach automation how to adapt to the screen size. So even for operators in that field that are maybe not super skilled, yeah, it's super easy. They put the monitor on the conveyor and then the robot will do the job.
Okay, wonderful. Last question, talking about customers. What kind of customers are you serving to? Who should now listen carefully?
Okay. But we started from the simplest one. Again, simplest. The treatment centers. So yeah, those recycling centers that are taking the waste and disassembling them in different parts and different components. But then we start seeing there was an interest for our solution also within the producer, the electronic producers, like also today for the award. So who is building electronic? Who is building? They want to start to recover the same material they use for their products to do new products, to make new products. And then also the retailers. So who is reselling and selling those devices, like huge companies that are selling thousands of electronics? They want it to start recovering the devices that reach the end of life and start recycling them. So recycling centers, producers, and also retailers.
I see a bright future for Hero.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Fred, you're the co-founder and COO of Descycle, and just won the Circular Technology Award. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're super pumped about it.
What's the problem you're actually solving?
So we're looking at a world facing accelerating demand for critical metals, but places like Europe and the UK are very limited by geology. But we already have very metal-rich resources above ground and onshore, and that's domestic waste streams. So what we're doing is transforming domestic waste streams into sovereign metal supply.
And when you say domestic waste streams, I guess there's a specific part of it you're looking at.
Yes, exactly that. So we're going after things like consumer electronics, data center waste, everything electrical and electronic that has things like circuit boards, server boards, CPUs. And that is the base feedstock we're recovering with our first version of our tech.
Okay, and how does that work?
So we've actually got what we call a third path. It's we recover metals with low temperature liquid salts rather than using acids, rather than using smelters, which burn everything at high heat. So this is a first of a kind metal recovery system that we're deploying.
So low temperature liquid salt.
Yes. So we dissolve metals in salts, much like salt dissolves in water, mm-hmm, if you can picture that. And what we do is we use different versions of these salts to dissolve different metals. So we can be selective on which metals we dissolve and then which metals we recover from these special salts. And these special salts, they're a new class of chemistry, never commercialized before, called deep eutectic solvents, or DES for short, hence the name DEScycle.
Ah, now I get it. But yeah. And what kind of metals are you looking at?
So the first feedstocks, the value are in gold, in copper, in silver, in palladium, in tin. We're also recovering iron, aluminium in quite large quantities as well. But we're branching out into other feedstocks, such as PV panels, which contain large amounts of things like silica alongside silver and other metals as well.
Okay. And where do you sit in the value chain? So what's the input material you get and what's then the output you can sell?
So we are a midstream metal recovery technology, replacing the role of smelting in the reverse supply chain. So we're not doing the upstream collection and disassembly. So we're not going to take receipts of televisions and laptops, for example. There's an upstream market that already does that job. And what they do is containerize the valuable components and they ship them off to the smelters. Mm-hmm. So what we're offering is a domestic solution to process that material in country, transforming scrap materials into high purity metals. Mm-hmm. Our metal products are then sold to whether refiners or straight back into the manufacturing chain, depending on the metal and form.
And final question, who are your ideal customers?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different groups of customers. There are consumer electronics recyclers. There are ITADs, which deal in the data center space. We can provide you faster and cheaper or better payment terms than your existing contracts. All you need to know, and a more sustainable solution. We're also working with major OEMs. We have two major strategic investors. One is Cisco in the US and one is Mitsubishi from Japan. Mm-hmm. What we're working on with them is how can we enact a closed loop supply chain by producing known provenance, traceable metal supply from the domestic waste streams. So what we're doing there is tagging digital product passports on. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in either closed loop supply or simply earning more money from your existing recycling activities, please come and talk to us.
Wonderful. All the best for scaling.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Carlo, you're the co-founder of Hypromec. Congratulations for winning the technology award.
Thank you very much.
What is the problem you're solving?
We are recycling magnets, permanent magnets based on rare earths. And rare earths is one of the most critical materials concerning the supply risk because majority of the material is coming from China. And we're recycling the material that's in Europe. So we're building a kind of resilient and independent and also sustainable supply chain of magnets.
Okay. And how do you do that?
We have developed in a European project that's called Resilience, a process that's very sustainable. They're working with hydrogen. So we're introducing the magnet to hydrogen, and because of the high reactivity of the neodymium, we're forming a hydride. It sounds very complicated, but you can compare it with water that's freezing in the winter in the road. That's expanding the volume and making a crack. And also this hydride is expanding in volume and is breaking the material apart. And the beauty of it is that it's also demagnetizing, so we can easily shake out the produced powder of the magnetic or metallic components, which normally is an issue because magnets stick to everything. And because of this demagnetization, we can have a rotating resin where we put in semi-disassembled scrap. We rotate the whole reactor and then the powder falls out.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can collect this powder, we sieve it and press new magnets out of it, so we don't go back to the rare earth oxides as a chemical route would do. We stay in the alloy, so neodymium iron boron, and that allows us to be about 90% more economic with respect to energy, but also with respect to use of acids and chemicals.
Okay, that sounds impressive. Where do you sit in the value chain? If you get like the semi scrap, you have the powder, so who is before you and who are actually your customers in there?
I mean, we're shortening the value chain. So we are, at one hand, we are a kind of recycler. So we buy also semi-disassembled scrap, for example, hard disk drives, which are a good source for magnets recycling. And then we're a powder producer. We are also delivering powder to other magnets producers because you can mix it with new material. So we can more easily need also recycling targets. So by mixing, for example, 95% of new material with 5% of scrap material. So we deliver that material to other magnets producers, but we also produce our own magnets, preferably 100% recycled for, let's say, kind of special applications.
Okay, and What are your ideal customers?
Well, our ideal customers are obviously coming from Europe. They need magnets. And the customer base is extremely broad.
Yeah.
Because magnets are used in medical, in electronics, in automotive, in green energy, in wind turbines. So it's a very broad portfolio. And we see that the appetite of the customers is bigger with the small and medium-sized companies because they have a bigger supply risk.
Right.
The very large companies, they still can source for China. Mm-hmm. So the ideal customer this time is mid-sized, but obviously we're also targeting the very big ones. Mm-hmm. But there the price pressure is higher if it comes to sustainable material.
Paolo, this is a really impressive solution that you've built and really pressing in terms of what we need right now. So congratulations again and all the best.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're very positive looking into the future of magnets recycling.
Yeah, for a good reason. Thanks. This was the final episode in our IFAD series, and I think it was a special one. I was really excited to talk to the founders of these four startups. If you want to learn more about them, we will have the links to all four companies in the show notes. The next series will start at IFAD 2. We will cover the topic of textiles and EPR schemes. Until then, please make sure that you drive a profitable circular economy. And please don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.